You are listening to episode number 144 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Now with more underwear.
Maybe you. And hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always, first off, as always, I hope you had a happy Labor Day. We didn't do Labor Day episode because it's Labor Day. We didn't have to work. And I bought a lot of old comics. So, how was y'all's Labor Day, guys?
Sunny.
It was my last hurrah before school kicked back in.
Did you go to the Sox?
Plus, I celebrated the irony of Labor Day just in general, you know, created by the people who work to not work. Love it. So, only in America.
Yep. So hopefully,
America!
If you had to work, it sucks. But anyways, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel Entertainment. I'm not going to say that long intro you say because it pretty much says Marvel Entertainment. So, without further ado, we're going to dive right into news as a certain mechanical robot has been cast. B-Rai, who is the megalionicle? Who is this mysterious... Who is this mad robot? Who is this mad robot?
We apologize. We told Iggy not to drink before the show, but it seems he got he's carrying the Labor Day celebration over. Okay.
Melancholy.
So, Ultron has indeed been cast in the Avengers sequel forthcoming, and he has been cast as being played by Emmy Award-winning actor James Spader of Boston Legal and The Practice. Also, he starred as Daniel Jackson in the Stargate movie. And, that's about the size of it. Nothing really earth-shattering, but we have a name and a face for the character of Ultron, as far as... But, Ben, I know you are not at all... You're not happy. Well, maybe not happy, but you're not confident.
I haven't been happy with sort of how they've been talking about Ultron. Look, okay. Let's just say... I'm talking about how Ultron hates everything. Ultron hates everything in the sense that, like, he hates everything.
He wants us all dead.
He wants us all dead, but not in that he's angry.
Yes, he is. How dare you say that?
No, hold on. Maybe not. He's angry later on after he's been betrayed and beaten over and over and over again. Initially,
no, he's not.
Initially, he's not that angry, Taz. I mean.
He brainwashed his creator so he'd forget that he made him. That was one of the first things he
did.
That
could just be construed as covering his tracks. That's not explicitly anger as so much as his intelligence.
He has stated on panel that he refuses to accept him being his creator. That's hatred. That's hatred. There's no defending. There's no way you can convince me that he doesn't hate. No, that's hatred. He hates Pym.
What?
Saying he's not. When I say he doesn't hate, he doesn't hate like we normally do. So I'm saying, and that I like Ultron when he isn't. I like Ultron cold. I like Ultron when he's just there. I like Ultron as just sort of, you know, Ultron isn't a single thing. He's the AI, as I said 1,000 times already, and you should already know that by now. But I find Ultron much more interesting as this cold thing who wants to eradicate all humanity. That's why I like Ultron.
I really don't care.
I'm sure this guy will be fine.
I'll care once the performance comes through. When that happens, you know.
Okay, but, I mean,
the guy has awards under his belt. I'm assuming he must have some caliber of acting ability.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Yeah. I could be wrong.
It'll be really interesting to see the design they go with. Because Ultron is probably one of the more slicker designs in the Marvel Universe.
I bet you he won't be a robot. They'll probably treat him as like some intangible artificial intelligence.
Well, that's what he is.
I'm telling you.
Ultron's an AI.
No. Right. Correction. But what I'm saying is he won't have... I don't think he'll have a physical form for much, if any.
You really don't think they want to get? They probably want to give Hulk something to punch. They're going to give him. They should give him a physical body.
All right, I'll put it to you this way. You know what we'll probably see, as I say this, I realize how pissed off I'll be immediately. He won't be made out of adamantium, and he'll probably be like
he'll be made out of
a cyborg. He'll be able to move things together to form a body rather than having, you know, a dedicated
post
form.
Body. Yeah.
You know, he'll probably take over Iron Man's armor.
Wouldn't surprise me. It's an AI that can jump to jump. It wouldn't surprise me if they did that.
As long as Tony's not in it, I think we'll get away with it being okay.
That could happen, but what I don't see is him turning it into Janet like he did.
No, that's not going to happen.
But that would work so well with Ruin and the guys who just don't know anything about it. Just, like, oh, hey, naked tits. And just walk in.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't have a problem with, what's his name? Spock to say somebody else. Spader, thank you. Spader playing Ultron, but the idea that Ultron is non-emotional, I refute that tremendously. Okay, Ultron has everything about him, all of his actions say megalomaniacal, and you can't have that and be non-emotional. It just doesn't happen. You know, to say that he doesn't hate.
He clearly hates, but I mean that, he doesn't hate and say like the way Doom hates. He's not human. It's a different response.
Okay,
is what I'm
so
saying.
Do you think that Thanos hates or Mephisto hates?
No, you know,
I think if they again, if I they think... do, they hate in a sense. It's different from what, say, you and I experience as hate. It's if with Ultron, I would imagine it's not so much as hate, but disgust, which can be tied to hatred.
But
which can be tied
exactly.
to hatred,
it's
but
attached
like,
to it. It's definitely attached to it.
No, you're right, but I think it's more like there's something like a person can just hate somebody just because they can for no rhyme or reason, whereas there's other people who will hate. I'm just using this example, who will hate a fat person because they are fat, and that is why, and they will hate them because of that.
Bigotry, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And I think Ultron hates is not so much as hates, like I said, even though it's tied to it, but is more disgusted by the idea of humanity. And you know, he doesn't want to be... Like, that's what I imagine.
Okay.
It's more disgust that you're this, you're below... Not he won't ever say, you're below me. Maybe he... I think he pretty much he has... But like he knows he's superior to all of them. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's even disregarded mutants. So,
well then, what does that say about his love for Janet Van Dyne?
That's
because
of programming.
Because he has programming. Hank's, you know, his
brain. Yeah, by that same token, you can't exactly say Hank Pym wants to annihilate all organic life because.
Are you sure about that?
Him.
Pym kind of gets treated like a dick at bits.
Well, Pym is a dick. He did beat his wife a couple of times.
He did not. He smacked her once.
Whatever.
It was several times.
And
the one time they did take note of it, that was
she had it coming.
Hey,
oh God, you're gonna get us in trouble. God damn it.
After Age of Ultron, he got a slightly more respectable station in Marvel, I guess. At least that's what they tried to tell us.
They eliminated that? Are you serious? They eliminated that?
Well, after Age of Ultron, he kind of got his origin rebooted in the wake of...
That's horrible.
Now he's a grandma's boy.
Lucky.
No lie.
Marvel, I'm glad I didn't read that.
Holy See, this is what happens when you drop out of shit. You don't find out that Hank Pym, after being visited by Wolverine and Sue Richards like twice, and being told about Ultron and shit, got his origin rebooted.
That's horrible.
Because time fractured or some.
The time stream is broken. We did that.
Yeah.
You know, that totally disrupts any argument I will ever hear from some fan saying that Marvel heroes are more realistic. Fuck you. Okay? Anytime you can take and argue that, oh, Marvel heroes have flaws and this and that. Yeah, but the company won't let it be as such. Fuck you. All right? This is proof positive of what I've been saying for the longest time. They can't let their heroes be
Forever the status quo. Forever the second.
This changes the status quo. His status quo for what? Going on 20 years was that he had fallen and now he's been trying to get back and do right and this, that, the other thing and blah, 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 blah. This removes all of that. Everything that he had done for the last 20 years is basically ignorable because he didn't do the thing that put him in the put him down there in the first place. Right?
Yeah, actually, that's all gone. In fact, exactly, as far as I know, he never felt it again.
Exactly, you know, that's why I hate reboots. That's why I hate them, because they eliminate shit that actually built up the character, because somebody somewhere went, I don't like that. It's got to go. Fuck you, it's not your character, you know? But... I'm sorry that me on
no, by all means.
It's
a beautiful soapbox.
The overall point of this is I've been burned by the fucking Mandarin. I don't want to get burned by my favorite Avengers villain at all. That's all I'm fucking saying.
And so then you understand where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I want a representation of Ultron that I can be proud of. Not the fucking joke. As brilliant as the performance Ben Kingsley gave for that particular role, I don't want another fucking Iron Man 3. I'm not saying it will happen, but I don't want a repeat. I've been burned before. So I'm saying. Okay. So, any other thoughts on James Spader?
You're singing on to that tighter than the Marvel U about Hank Pym slapping his wife.
I look forward to it because I want to see what they do. I don't have any problems with Spader playing Ultron at all, but I just, if they try to turn him into HAL 9000, I'll have a problem because I know
you
that's not him.
Can't win, Thor. I am a superior being. What are you doing, Cap? Steve.
And see, Johnny V should be here to argue this point. Where the hell are you, JV? You dog hugging person, you.
He's working. Anyways, next up, obviously, me and Taser have no surprise that we love Captain Marvel. We love Carol Danvers. She's awesome. but we got some pretty interesting news. Rumors, rather. B-Rai, what's the rumor going on now?
Okay. Well, this first part isn't a rumor. We have proof, an admission by the actors that this, in fact, did happen. Katie Sackhoff, who has been on Battlestar Galactica 24.
Starbuck. She's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Longmire, she's in the Riddick movie. She's in the Schmoes movie. She's been in a ton of shit, basically. What were you saying?
Boobness and Riddick.
Yes. Boobs. Some more than side boob, from what I heard you bicker about with Johnny V. Anyway, Katie Sackhoff met with some Marvel execs. The exact nature of the meeting, which was not disclosed. However, as many have speculated, she fits the bill of a certain busty blonde bombshell who can kick a lot of ass and take a lot of names. It is rumored that she may be up for the role of Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, appearing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe around the time of Avengers Age of Ultron or onwards. But beyond that, we don't know much outside of that.
She could play Spider-Woman if she wanted to.
No, she's better as a blonde. Just trust me.
Yeah, I don't see her as Jessica Drew. That just doesn't feel right. I'm not saying he couldn't do it, but you know, I mean, if you have Spider-Woman and you have Captain Marvel, which do you really see her as? I don't see.
It's Captain Marvel, but I'm saying like other choices. If it's not Captain Marvel, Spider-Woman's not a bad choice.
Not at all, actually. That's actually, it's a pretty good choice, all things considered. But I mean,
or it wouldn't be my first.
Play Gamora for all I can care.
What was that?
Play Gamora.
Gamora.
The chicken.
What are you talking about, Gamora? I know who you're talking about.
And the chicken.
No, garden. You know who she could play? Thundra.
The one Hulk slept with?
Yes, Thundra. The chick who was queen of the Amazon, that Amazon planet, and she ended up hooking up with Archon.
You know we're never going to see Thundra, right?
Yes. Huh?
A boy can dream, can't he?
Yeah, but come on. She could so play Thundra.
Yeah, but so... Needless to say, I will say this about Katya Sackhoff. Thanks to my loving father, who introduced me to Battlestar Galactica, not the old one because I don't care, but the newer version, which I get that fucking reaction every time I say that. I will never watch it. I loved Katya Sackhoff's character Starbuck in Battlestar. It's been a while since I've seen Battlestar to relate. Like, I don't want to compare the characters because it's two completely different characters. As far as I'm concerned, although they're both female fighter pilots.
No, they're not.
What is she again?
Starbuck was a dude the first time.
I'm talking about the reboot.
Oh, she was a chick.
Yeah, she was a fighter pilot, and she was
yeah.
So I'm talking about never seen the original, and never will. So I don't want to I hope people are making the connections like based off that character because sometimes that particular. She played this. That means she will do well in this, despite the two complete different. That's what I don't want. But I would be in favor for it. She looks the part. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She can stand on her own. I'm pretty sure she's not going to be able to step. Won't be afraid to step with the Thor's face or Hulk or any other of the guys. You know. Plus, it's always nice to have more women on the team. You know, Black Widow's nice. And Scarlett Johansson's really nice to look at. But you know, having Katie Sackhoff there wouldn't be too bad on the eyes. So I'm saying. Plus, she could deliver a strong character thing, and it'd be fun. It'd be fun.
I suppose it would be.
I think it would be awesome. Awesome.
She is a one of a kind character.
I think she could definitely carry a strong female like Carol Danvers. And, you know, she's got the on-screen Stones presence, you know, that Carol Danvers carries with her. Carol Danvers has always had. Except one point in time when she was raped by that cosmic entity and then they just kind of...
We don't talk about that.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that. But I will say that I don't think I've ever seen Katya Sackhoff in a role where she didn't kick ass.
Good point.
I'm trying to think of a role. I mean, maybe 24, but even then, she still had some ballsy moves in that one, if not ballsy actions.
24?
Yeah, she was in 24.
What season?
The season escapes me, but she plays one of the correspondents for the unit that Jack Bauer's in, and then she turns traitor, or she is a traitor, pretty much.
Oh, then she got dispatched with painfully, I hope. Because I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she got shot in the face, though I can't remember exactly. It's been a while since I've seen 24, so you'll have to excuse me. I kind of stopped caring about that a little while ago.
No worries. That's nice. But, okay, so yeah, I think we all agree. Katya Sackhoff is Captain Marvel. Good news. Yeah. You know, saying it happens.
Just really quickly, on the subject of Jessica Drew... If we can open this up just for just one more second.
Sure.
I respectfully submit Lauren Cohan. And
who?
Wait a minute. Maggie from The Walking Dead.
As who?
Is she British?
I don't think it I don't think so.
Well,
I think she's
well, Spider-Woman's British, so...
Wait a minute, who's British?
Spider-Woman.
Jessica Drew?
Yes.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
No, she's not. She's,
yes, she is. She's British. They don't write her like that. Yeah, see, this is... This is where
she
I get into
Taser
character.
She's the most American girl, she's, I think.
No, she's English. I guarantee you she's British.
Wait, do you actually have any proof of this?
Yes!
Where's the proof?
When Bendis wrote her.
She was created before Bendis, so I hate to tell you that.
She was always... Yeah. Okay. Okay, so in fact, Spider-Woman is... not British. Fuck no.
Hasn't been determined. That's all we can say.
TBD. Yeah. TBD.
There you go.
Okay. So, needless to say, our resident co-host, Johnny V, decided to join us.
A little late, but I was in the middle of
a run. Someone's a little tardy to the party.
He was trying to get some. That's what it was. I've got to keep
these abs tight, boys. I got to.
All right. So, you are a huge dependent on James Spader's Ultron. Say why.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, who can be against it? Like, it's not like Ultron is, you know, going to require Academy Award-winning performance by whoever's involved. Really.
He should, though. Damn it. He's the fucking greatest thing ever.
I mean, he's going to be a rogue AI. Like, how many rogue AIs do you know of required a great actor to pull off? I can think of one recently.
Oh.
And even to me, his voice acting wasn't even needed for it, and that was Kevin Spacey as the AI in Moon. I don't know if anyone
didn't
saw
see
that movie. He was great in it. And even in, if I recall correctly, I believe that AI had a personality as well. Like, a lot of people are wanting with Ultron, which I'm fine with. I'll be honest, I don't care about Ultron, so I'm kind of unique in that aspect. I really don't give a shit how they do him, to be honest. He's not a villain I really connect with or really care about at all. So, saying that, I think in terms of wanting to maybe present a rogue AI that does develop like a human, human traits, human weaknesses, I think James Spader will bring that. I think that'll be great, to be honest. I can't remember if he's done voice work before or not, so I can't really speak in terms of his past history on that. But I can speak about his just past work in general. I think he has a great like monotone voice. Like, even when he's angry, his voice doesn't inflect all that much, which to me would be a great thing in demonstrating like that in a rogue AI. So I don't see how anyone could be against it, really. I mean, I didn't hear your all's arguments. I know that Taser was definitely apprehensive about it on the board.
But you see my argument. It's not him playing the role. It's just the idea that he would be emotionless and yet still menacing. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
The idea that you could have... Go ahead.
Go on, I'm sorry.
The idea that you could have an intelligence, you know, or a being that could mean harm and also not have any emotion, I don't know how that's psychologically possible, you know? Now, if you tell me that his voice would be monotone while still being blah, 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 okay, I can work with that, because remember, I linked you that thing for the Brain from Teen Titans. The voice that the person that they had to do the voice of the Brain was monotone, but his inflection
Monsieur Mala?
Carried over. Excuse me?
Monsieur Mala?
No, the Brain.
Oh, I'm thinking of Monsieur Mala.
Nah, the
How do you confuse a gorilla for a brain and a tin can?
Because they were always together. Because they were always together when I read them.
They were lovers.
The Brain. I think that's pretty straightforward. Which one is the Brain?
Whatever.
But regardless, the Brain and was... It was like if you'd taken a soundboard and then just put words together, you know. But he still, his inflection carried over his deep intent on, I'm going to fuck you up, you know, and you can't stop me because I am me, you know, blah, blah, blah. I if that's how it works, I have no problem. I just, before you came on here,
Ig was talking about how, you know, Ultron doesn't hate. And, you know, I'm just, no.
Well, I think the whole aspect of
AIs, it's more hate, it's more disgust than hate, as I've said.
I think there's been history of AIs kind of presenting that ideal. I don't think that's anything new, to be honest.
But would you say Hal 9000, would you say he was evil?
Well, evil, it depends on what you're defining evil as. I don't think he's evil in the aspect that he had, like, was driven by any kind of human emotion or, can't think of the word I'm looking for. He wasn't driven by, like, a human evil. You know what I mean? Like, evil...
Okay.
Evil's a very subjective term. I mean, there's all kinds of evil. Like, if you kill someone, that's pretty fucking evil.
It depends on what you killed them for, though.
Exactly. So, you know, if an AI is killing someone because it believes that killing is the greatest, the most efficient avenue towards a solution, do you consider that evil?
It's no, not, I would just consider
it's not
that
killing out of malice. It's
a logical, deduction to get to its goal.
To an end. So, do you consider that evil? Like, it depends on your mindset. It's, you know, completely open-ended. But
if it kills you because it doesn't want you to be around anymore,
simply because it doesn't like you or doesn't like the idea.
Exactly.
Of you.
How dare you exist? And the fact that you're trying to thwart my efforts
to
kill you, I would say, yeah, that makes it evil. And it
knows. Yeah, you're presenting a human element in that to me. You're not.
Yeah, but see, Ultron, though, he was based on Pym. His minds, his brain patterns were originally based on Pym's. So, you know, he grew from that, and he, you know, developed his own, you know, whatever. But still, he had Pym at his core. That's kind of what led him to trying to make Jocasta and then taking over Tony's armor and turning him into freaking Janet. Because he's still got – it's there, you know?
Well, like I said, I honestly don't give two shits about Ultron. So whatever way they decide to go, I think that James Spader will be a great fit just because of his voice. And he does have –
I don't have a problem with that. Don't have a problem with that.
I mean, I'm with you. To me, honestly, the aspect of AI that's menacing is that there is no human element. To me, that's what makes, like, an AI a good villain. So they do it with
Terminator,
Ultron,
like Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator.
Exactly. That's what makes Terminator interesting. It's not human. He's just killing because it's an efficient means to an end. Well, his is a little bit different. He's been ordered to do that. But when you're talking about HAL 9000, it's the AI reasons within itself that this is the most efficient path to the solution it's looking for. Not necessarily be given orders, kind of like what the T-1000 was. It was just kind of like a cyborg.
Okay.
They implanted,
so
this is your directive, do this. It didn't develop the idea of killing as being efficient on its own. It was simply just given orders to do that. And there's a difference there. As well.
What about the Supreme Intelligence, though? That is an AI. It makes its own decisions. It's somewhat organic. It's more synthetic, but it is an artificial intelligence. There's a lot of them out there that are artificial intelligences, and they are evil. You know? And Ultron and just about every issue of any Marvel comic you can pull up,
He's evil.
And
he almost caused a nuclear holocaust between two countries just because he could.
You know, see, I mean, and that's evil. Not because it gets me a goal, it's because I just want this to happen. Because, you know, that doesn't serve any other purpose other than I want these two things to happen to just eliminate them. There's no higher goal. That's evil.
That's true. I mean, I honestly don't care. Because anytime Ultron's ever appeared in anything, I've never been like, I really want to read that. I've read, which run of the Avengers was it where that was the first story arc was Ultron? It was Bendis. It's one of Bendis'
Avengers 58.
It was one of the. It was. I think it was a Bendis' like first run on the Avengers on something. I can't remember which one it was though.
Oh,
and Ultron was featured as like the first villain in it. I can't remember it. And
you're
I
not talking about the one where it took over Tony's armor, are you?
I can't remember.
That
I just
was
remember
Mighty
his...
Avengers when he came back after being away for a while. Because before that,
Bennett,
they had
he
kicked
had been
his ass royally, and that was Kirk Busiek who did that.
That may have been it. Because I remember Ms.
Ultron
Marvel
Unlimited, is that what
team.
You're thinking of?
That's probably it.
Yeah.
I remember Ms. Marvel was like one of the leaders on the team.
Yeah, that's it. Ultron. It's either you're either thinking of Mighty Avengers when Bendis started or Kirk Busiek's Ultron Unlimited storyline.
I think, yeah, it's Mighty Avengers. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, I remember reading that one, and it just didn't capture, like, I didn't.
Yeah, that's really not, yeah, yeah.
Get drawn into Ultron, basically.
Because that wasn't really Ultron, in a sense. It was, but it wasn't, like, I don't know.
It was sexy Tony Stark. Sexy.
Pretty much. All right, let's move on. What are your thoughts, real quick, on Katie Sackhoff potentially being the Captain Marvel?
Titties.
Amen, Johnny B. Amen.
Booze.
All right, I guess that's it. I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. I don't care. All right. Well, let's move on to the final thing, I guess.
I actually had more to say. I was
okay. I was like, well.
Oh, did you already say something about it?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's something I missed out. Okay.
Pretty much.
No, speak out if you got it, dude.
I'll give a real opinion. I'm sorry. I thought we were just starting out.
No. That was.
No, I'll give it short and sweet. Honestly, I'd never really seen much of her work. I've never watched Battlestar Galactica. The only things I'd ever seen her in. We're in Longmire, and that's because my parents fucking love that show. I went
home. Dude, Longmire is the shit.
And they had, like, a Longmire marathon, so I was pretty much, like, at the mercy of my parents watching it. And I thought it was good. I thought she was pretty good in it. It's after seeing Riddick, it kind of seems like, and again, I don't know what kind of character she played on BSG, but she seemed very similar in terms of what she was portraying in Longmire and what she was portraying in Riddick. It was almost like the same character to me, almost, like the second-in-command woman who's under the male authority figure.
You think she's typecast?
Well, it's hard to say based on two roles, but from what I've seen in the two roles she's been in, it's so similar, and she doesn't... And I didn't even really get a sense that she was that much different in Riddick compared to what she was in Longmire. So, but again, I've never seen BSG, which I know is supposed to be her big role. So I can't really speak on that. Maybe she did have a different character on that show. But the two performances I've seen her in, I wouldn't be totally against her as Ms. Marvel. I think she's a fine actress. I didn't think she did a bad job in either role. It was just, it seemed very similar. It didn't seem like she was really stretching like much emotional muscle in either portrayal. She's a little bit angrier in Longmire, but a lot of that's because, you know, it's a television show. You have a lot more time to work with to, like, flesh a character out than, you know, an hour and a half long sci-fi movie. So, I'll say, you know, I wouldn't be totally against it, but it's another one of those things where it seems like there'd be so much better, so many better choices out there than her, just in terms of acting talent.
You don't know what you're talking about, Johnny B.
Have you masturbated to BSG, Brian?
I've never actually seen her BSG role either. I saw her in 24.
Answer the question.
Oh, God, she was in 24, wasn't she? Oh,
yeah,
shit.
She
was kind of the same role in that, too. She was just like an...
She was?
Female underling in 24. Like, yeah. She was kind of dirty in that, too, wasn't she?
She was a traitor.
Yeah, okay. Damn, I forgot she was a...
If there's anything Ms. Marvel is not an underling, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she could portray that well. I think she's attractive enough. She's not my kind of attractive, but I wouldn't, like, you know, begrudge anyone for finding her extremely... Like, you know, finding her attractive. I wouldn't begrudge it, but... She wouldn't be my first choice for Ms. Marvel. So I'll leave it at that.
Like I said earlier, who would be your first choice?
It's a good question. I honestly can't think of anyone off the top of my head right now. I'd have to do some research. I've never really thought about it. It's like I was I'm part of a Facebook comic book group, and I was pretty much like Gina Carano or whatever her name is pretty much
the MMA chick.
Yeah, she's basically my first casting choice.
Except she can't act. That's the problem.
She was good in...
She was what? Live was, Haywire?
She was good in Haywire.
She was okay. I've seen
now,
that movie.
Don't get me wrong.
That movie rested on what she did physically.
Don't get me wrong. She's not going to win an Academy Award for anything she's ever going to be in.
I wouldn't say good. I would say okay.
If you're trying to get me to like invest in a movie where I'm supposed to like watch a female kick somebody's ass, she's going to be my casting choice every time. You can make her blonde. You can get a good enough director to bring out acting talent in her. But she has, like, that raw physicality where if she was in a Miss Marvel outfit, she could fill it out. And I would believe she could beat somebody's ass into the ground. So,
like
I said,
that idea.
Gina Carano, or however you pronounce her name.
Carano.
My first choice for any female superhero that needs to fill out tights or skirts.
You know,
Jennifer Morrison.
Jennifer Morrison. Now, I could go with Gina Carano, but she would have to, absolutely have to, be somebody like Mantis, because to have her play, I don't know, Scarlet Witch would just be a waste. You know, Gina Carano, if she's on screen, has to be a butt kicker. You know, like exactly. She could play White Tiger. You know?
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. Or Colleen Wing. That would be awesome.
Wait. Oh. Yeah, actually, that actually fits really well.
Yeah. I don't know how she if she knows anything about swordplay, because Colleen is a,
she could always
is a samurai.
That. Like, how
okay,
many
you're actors? Right, you're right. No, agreed. I'm not saying that, but I want to see...
Because Hugo...
More
so
than anything else,
his
yes.
Face. Viggo Mortensen knew how to sword fight before he stepped on a Lord of the Rings set.
He did?
No, I'm saying I'm saying sarcastic.
Oh, it's okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah, but it's not like I went there because I wanted to see Viggo Mortensen use a sword. Fuck him. I went there because it was fucking Tolkien. Shit.
That's true. All right. Any other last thoughts, guys, about Katie Sackhoff?
Boobs.
Kind of like my thoughts towards Ultron. She's not like someone I really am invested in, so if it was Katie Sackhoff, I'd be like, you know, knock it out, girl. I'm rooting for you. So.
Yeah, I'm not.
All right, well, let's
Bossy's move on. Bossy's got Batman and Ultron. Get at me. Sorry. Just had to throw that in there near the end.
Get all at right. him, dog.
Last bit of news, because we're running long.
Get at me, kid. Fuck.
Invaders. Brian, what's the lowdown with this shit?
Oh, not just Invaders, but we'll get to that in a second. So, all new Marvel Now, the second phase, I believe, of Marvel's grand plan begins December 24th, but they're introducing two new series to the mix. The first one is called Inhuman. It's going to be written by Matt Fraction and illustrated by Joe Mad. Hell yeah, I love me some Joe Mad.
He'll be on for two issues and gone. I love Joe Mad. He lives in my city. That guy will be gone in a couple issues.
Fair enough. And apparently it spins off that by following what happens when a large population of people are exposed to the Terrigen Mists. So we'll see what happens when people get hit with this and they become Inhumans themselves. Mm-hmm. And following that, we are going to have Invaders coming up. And that is going to be written by... Where is it? James Robinson, and illustrated by Steve Pugh. And it's going to reunite Captain America with Bucky Barnes, the original Human Torch, and Namor the Submariner. And apparently it's going to revolve around the Kree Empire coming to Earth looking for something, and Cap and his crew got to stop it.
Can I go first?
Go ahead.
Inhuman, God, I'm going to sound like W.S. when I say this, but I have no interest in a fucking X-Men ripoff. So that's exactly what that book, especially when it's written by Matt Fraction, that book fucking spells. I have these powers. I don't know what to do with my life. That fucking smells like that. I already read enough X-Men. I love the X-Men. I don't want to read about a knockoff. No offense. I'm sure it'll be fine. Okay. I don't care about the Invaders. Who really cares about the Invaders as a group? Outside of, you know, Namor, Cap, Bucky, and that's it. Nobody really cares about
the You just named literally three of the four.
Yeah, but there was like Spitfire and Captain Britain.
Union Jack.
Union Jack, there's all these fucking characters. There's a whole bunch
I like Union Jack. I think he's cool.
You're weird though. So the point is
I'm sure they
got the perfect guy to write Golden Age Heroes in James Robinson, because that's the fucking go-to guy to write Golden Age Heroes. So it's Marvel, not DC characters, so completely different, but who knows. So I don't know. I don't care. I have too many Avengers books. I have too many X-Men books to care about these, God, I'm going to say this word, inferior books already. And I'm sure they're going to be great. I'm sure they're going to be fine. But I have no interest for these books. Me personally. The Invaders is a group. That's what the Avengers are for. You know? The modern day Avengers. Why do we just fucking call it another event? I'm surprised it's not called another Avengers title, to be honest with you. Like, seriously. Which I kind of give them admiration.
Avengers Invaders.
Even though that was actually...
Marsha. Mm.
So yeah, that's my point is, I don't want an X knockoff X-Men title, and I don't want an inferior wannabe Avengers title. So, there you go. I'm hating on some classic concepts.
Johnny V, I think you can go next if you want, because I got to talk... Taser pointed out something early on the boards that I think he and I might want to touch upon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't really say either way. I'm just kind of like neutral towards all the news tonight. I really don't care about any of the Invaders characters, to be honest with you. Bucky, I like Bucky. I don't really care though. If it's a good story, it's a good story. I mean, if they write stories, you know, they're high quality enough that make me want to read it, I'm going to read it. I can tell you there's no character in it that's like, oh, fuck that guy. I really don't care what's going on with him at all. So, you know, if it comes out and they knock it out of the park, I'll give it a shot. I didn't care about Spider-Woman before... shit, I forgot.
Bendis and Maliv?
Yes, Bendis and Maliv. Thank you. Didn't really give a shit about her before... then that group got together, and man, you want to talk about a series that just ended way too quickly. It needed to go on longer than it did. And so, you know, that might happen with the Invaders. I'll definitely keep an open mind towards it. If, you know, they end up doing something that, you know, intrigues me, I'm going to read it. So.
Is that about it?
That's about it. You can go, sir.
Cool. Taser. You saw it, right? You actually talked to West about it in terms of what's going on in Invaders. For those of you who don't know, Namor's on the team. And for those of you who forgot, he kind of almost killed the country last time anybody saw him. And West, West is going to be the spirit of debate here. West said that, you saw them together in New Avengers, but that matter was actually cleared up when Cap, who tried to take the moral high road, got his ass mind-wiped and ejected from the Illuminati almost the same day he was invited. So...
And you don't lost us to gems, my wife!
Yeah. You broke our toy, get the fuck out.
And not
Tony
only that,
looks him right in the face and goes, "Oh, hey, nothing's wrong."
Damn it, Steve! You had to do this. Damn it! Just take him out.
Even T'Challa, He's like, yeah, I didn't actually say that. Go ahead, do it. Do it quickly.
And that being said, keep in mind, it was a threatening of nearly every reality that took Cap to actually sit down with Namor originally.
Yeah.
That being said, how is the moral high road Captain America going to clash with his buddy who kind of killed a bunch of people? You know, that's really one of the big sticking points of Invaders, I think, for both Taser. I'm not going to speak for Taser, but for myself, that's a sticking point, just because it reeks of something that is either going to breed incredible storytelling or lazy storytelling. James Robinson, he's had his moments. I don't doubt that he can be a good writer when he wants to be.
Earth 2, woohoo!
Yeah.
Alan Scott. Now let me stop.
Yeah, right. Well,
he's not even that kind of gay.
Yeah. But, see, no, but for every Earth 2, there is a cry for justice, okay? So let's table that.
Okay, now, fair enough.
Now, that being said, I've never really had much interest in the Invaders myself, but this being a sort of a new take on it in a new environment, I might give it a read. You know, James Robinson, he's been hit or miss with me, but I'm willing to give him a shot on this. Inhuman sounds interesting as well. You know, I'm a fan of the Marvel Cosmic, and so seeing the Inhumans sort of brought back in a more...
But are they... They're not cosmic, though. The Inhumans...
They've only become cosmic recently. Their cosmic connections, of course, with the Kree stuff, but they've really been like moon-based and Earth-based.
Well, that's more spacey than cosmic, though.
You understand, for Brian's little mind, cosmic means space. Space means cosmic.
Ouch. I wasn't going there, but okay.
Mr. One of the four Invaders doesn't matter. I'm bad at math. Now... Inhuman, that's going to be written by Fraction and Joe Madd. I'll give it a read, or as Iggy pointed out, I'll read it until Joe Madd drops off and see where it goes from
there. Yeah, which will be 3 issues.
Yeah. So I'll get a good 3 issues out of it.
It'll be 3 issues. It'll be fun.
So, but that's where I find myself. I'm really kind of neutral on it for now. I mean, it's...
You know, if he hears this, he could find me and probably kick my ass.
Well...
Then you've got to get that recording of you getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, no, I'll have my... Hi, Joe...
It'll be a YouTube special.
Hey guys, this is not going to be a regular episode. I have a swollen lip because Joe Madd kind of whooped my ass last week. It's hard to breathe right now.
You've seen his art, man. You know that dude's kind of whacked in the head.
Oh, fuck, I love his art, though. He's amazing.
But yeah, so that's where I'm at with these two series. And
well, I'll say this. In regards to... In humans, I'm like JV. I'm kind of indifferent to it. I don't really... care. I wasn't looking forward to this book. I wasn't going, hey, what are they doing with Black Bolt and crew? Yeah, okay. I'll look at it. I'll give it a shot, but it's not something that I'm clamoring for. Invaders, on the other hand, same deal, except my thing is this. When they rolled out, what was it, X-Men and then All New and whatever, you know, all you saw was, you know, Cyclops is a wanted mutant. Magneto and Emma and oddly enough, Magic wanted mutants. I ain't seen shit about Namor being somebody that people were looking for. Not New Avengers, not in any other book. Not a damn thing.
Yeah, that's actually really true.
And Namor was in Atlantis. They know where Atlantis is. There's been nothing, as far as I know, that says Namor picked up Atlantis from, what, the base of Utopia Island and moved it. So that means it's still there. So that means they knew where to go. I haven't seen shit out of S.H.I.E.L.D. that said, let's go get Namor.
Maybe they're afraid to kick all their asses.
Oh, come on. They've got Hulk. Hulk is now
an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hello, and on top of which, and I've said this for like, what, the last 2 years, the Avengers are now S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yeah, okay? That's nothing new.
It has been since Cap's come back. Before, Cap wouldn't have had anything to do with this. Now that Cap died and came back, he went, yes, sir, I'll take that badge. Thank you very much. Enjoy my penis. It is now super large. Okay? Respect my authority. So,
lol.
Like, they couldn't have sent the Avengers to go pick up Namor. Like, that couldn't have happened. Okay? Namor should have been the easiest one because, you know, he'd have just taken, secluded himself like the Atlanteans were going to provide a big-ass fight. Come on. So, that
well, not anymore,
means,
they're not.
Well, okay, that's another story. But like Captain America couldn't have done the same thing to Namor that he did to Cyclops and just shown up on their doorstep and go, yeah, I'm not asking. Give me Namor. That's right. Respect my penis and give me Namor. Okay? That didn't happen. Nothing when even doubt, close to it. Doubt. Namor was just out there, la, 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 and I'm free and I'm doing whatever. And then they went, hey, you know what? We're having this problem, and we need to call back the Illuminati. Boop. Namor shows up. And then they bring in Cap. And then Cap, you know what? In New Avengers, they tabled it so fast, I kind of missed it. They almost didn't address it. So when this book comes out, and you know, Namor's not even wanted by S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. Hello?
Yeah.
That kind of says something for the overall story. That says something about Marvel now, okay? Yeah, they've got these ideas, and they're throwing it out there, and they want to see what sticks, because they want to pull in readers, because they've got all these other franchises that they're trying to make money on. And I get that as a company. You know, I mean, that's your job, to come up with content that people want to read and go, oh, wow, that was awesome. Yeah, fine. I'm good with that. However, you cannot base your storyline upon an idea that a lot of what's going on now comes out of AVX. And then you just kind of ignore two of the biggest problems, who also happen to be mutants. They've never really addressed Wanda. They just kind of – they did the same thing with Namor. They, let's kind of circle around there and then avoid it. Namor, they've done even worse. It's just not been an issue. And I'm going to say it right now. I guarantee you that we'll get maybe one or two lines from Captain America, and then the issue won't be an issue anymore. It'll just be, something happened, and he's got to help, and then we'll just go right into and do whatever the fuck we're going to do. And that's what sucks about the way Marvel's been writing their books lately, you know? So, yeah, I'm not picking up Invaders. I am morally opposed to that book because.
Well, alrighty then. I say with glee.
Fuck Invaders.
Whatever. Let's move on to our double for the first time ever in the show's history. Double book of the weeks, as ladies and gentlemen.
Intro music.
As you know me, I love mutants. I love all mutants, and now it's time for If I Had It My Way, the once a year X-Men crossover. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has finally arrived for X-Men Battle of the Atom, chapters 1 and 2 released this week with Battle of the Atom number 1 and all new X-Men number 16. Alright. Ben is writing both chapters for this one. I want to let you guys go first, because I know my thoughts. And Brian, you go first.
Why do I gotta go first? That's a lot of pressure, man. This is the first double book of the week. I don't know if I can... Okay. I guess X-Men Battle the Atom, the first issue. Shit happens. The second issue, more shit happens. Shit happened.
Might be the greatest review in
Marvel. The most all-inclusive review in less than a minute.
Okay, I'll try and be a little more specific. We
tee
up
covered by Art Adams. Let's say that. There you go.
Fuck yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. First off,
I wish he drew the first chapter instead of Frank Cho.
Okay. Yeah.
But hey, Frank Cho draws a pretty woman.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yummy, yummy.
Okay. So, yeah. We tee off with some good old-fashioned X-Men fighting some Sentinels. Yeah. At least that's where the important shit starts. They go to recruit a new mutant that pops up, and they're besieged by Sentinels, and this big fucking battle tees off. It's good stuff. It's nice to see some of the classic X-Men fighting classic villains. In the present day, no less. I think it's kind of... It's almost a silent poetry to it. But that's neither here nor there. After they think they've won the day, shit goes sideways, and Cyclops kind of gets... dope slap back of the head. Only he's not quite dope slapped so much as he blasted by a Sentinel. And I actually had to look at it for a second, because that panel actually looked like he got his head blown clean off and not just knocked down.
It does.
His head like disappeared, like, holy sh! Yeah. Did they just show that? And older Cyclops and his team had showed up during the fight. Poof. Gone. And so for a split second, you're like, oh shit. Cyclops just died. I can't believe Cyclops died. Oh, no, wait, he's healed. Okay, he's back. But
well,
the
kid, I don't know his name.
Yeah.
Brought him back from the dead.
You're disappearing, Doc.
Yeah, he was healed, and then older Cyclops reappeared. Oh, and the fact that they used the exact same line, brilliant.
From Back to the Future?
Oh, yeah. No. What was it? Oh, God, what was it? Was it Back to the Future? I don't know. There's a line in the... I don't know. I lost my train of thought there for a second.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, it's derailed. Moving on.
Talking about. Go ahead, though.
Yeah. Okay, so the issue closes out with all the X-Men gathered back in the Beast's lab. And they're kind of saying, okay, this has kind of gone a little bit too far. These kids got to go back, like ASAP. And just when this sort of reaches consensus, the time cube starts up. And it's, whoa, what's going on? And all of a sudden, 7 people emerge from the time cube.
And then the Fire Nation attacked.
And then the Fire Nation attacked, very much so, yeah. But that is what bridges us into all-new X-Men number 16, mm-hmm. wherein we see the sort of team that has emerged, and we can assume this is one of the many, 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 many iterations of the X-Men in a post-apocalyptic future, because you know they love that shit over in the X-Men universe. They eat that shit up.
It's like, oh, it's Tuesday again? Let's do this.
Yeah, right? Oh, future stuff. It must be, yeah, it's Tuesday. First off, we get a bald man who's standing tall. And oh my god, is it Xavier? No, it's not Xavier. It's actually Charles Xavier's grandson, who we presume to be Legion's son.
Has to be.
Perhaps Legion and Blindfold's son together? Hmm?
Are they a thing?
Yes, they are a thing, actually. Wow. Because no one reads X-Men Legacy, so
okay.
No one knows about it. We got a thing.
I can honestly say I don't. So.
Yeah, I don't think I've met a single person who reads that, but that's. But he obviously inherited some super kick-ass mutant powers. On top of that, we got a giant fucking ice monster. 3 guesses who that might be.
I didn't guess that was Bobby because he's just big, big and rocky white. I didn't.
I bet you he got lobotomized, you know? Or something.
It could be.
I don't know. I will admit, I kind of fell into the same thing. I mistook him for the giant stone kid on the X-Men.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, his name. I thought he was like an evolution, but then I realized, quick, oh, that's Ice.
Well, y'all didn't know that was him?
I called it pretty quickly, but I kind of like had it.
I thought it was him and had to be him.
Yeah. Of course, Kitty Pryde is Kitty Pryde. Apparently, she's just herself in every timeline. She hugs Wolverine like nothing just happened. Like, she didn't just come out of thin air. You know, she got, oh, Wolverine.
It did. She jumped on him. I think she was missing something.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where she stands with Iceman, but that shit must be cold.
Frosty nips.
Please.
I like the way the ice cube feels.
Yeah.
And while Ben will no doubt gush later about a certain twist ending, I have to gush that Deadpool's on the team. It's Deadpool. He's on the X-Men in the future. And he showed up. It's great.
He's so pretty.
he kisses Wolverine, and it's just the most beautiful just expression of love. Also, we have Molly Hayes of the Runaways in there.
That was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. That one's kind of... I was expecting Franklin Richards personally, but, you know, what do I know, obviously?
He died, too. If we're talking... Right. If this is Kitty Pryde from Days of Future Whatever...
Oh, we don't know. Died. We don't know.
We don't know what...
Fair enough. I'm just saying.
Because that redhead is there, so it can't be Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Also, we have... sort of a mangy, mangled future version of Beast who just looks incredibly haggard. Like, he looks like he got roughed up.
Yeah, and he's dead in Days of Future, so...
It's a new thing altogether.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're being led by...
Created because all new X-Men are in this timeline. Probably why.
They're led by a woman who looks suspiciously like Zorn.
Hank, what did you do? I fucking love that. That's a thing. Hank?
Yeah, that was a good one.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. Oh, yes. And, yeah, so pretty much these guys show up, and they're kind of just pretty much telling them the same thing that what has just been discussed. These kids got to go back right now. The future's going to be fucked up. And then Wolverine kind of just goes blood rage and everything goes to shit. But when it sort of calms itself down, we realize that it wasn't Logan who was doing that. And that's when we notice the younger version of Jean Grey is gone and Cyclops is gone with her.
Oh, sweet Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That Jean Grey, she just can't keep out of trouble now, can she?
Like I said it before, and I'll say it again. Somebody needed to bitch smack this girl a long time ago.
Yeah, ever since they've confronted her about her fate, she's gotten so much more uppity in just whatever she does. It's almost annoying.
To be fair, wouldn't you be uppity if, like, hey, you're gonna die this way?
You know why?
You're gonna off yourself because of what you've done, and you're gonna marry this person who happened to partially drag you into this craziness.
But it doesn't matter, because you're going to go back in time and forget all of it happened anyway, so what the fuck?
Doesn't matter now.
And this is where we go from here, gents. While Scott and Jean are off on the run, the future X-Men ask to help them. And then Rachel confronts the masked woman.
Because that mask is in bad taste.
Yeah, a little bit. It was a poor decision, considering who's under the mask. It's Jean Grey!
She doesn't just screw up as her past self.
She screws up as her
outfit that she knows is going to offend some people from the future. So she's basically...
She's wearing the mask of the person that murdered her.
Yeah. And
hey...
fuck up from the past or the future.
But listen to this, Johnny V. She is self-aware because she realizes if her younger self doesn't get sent back, something bad is going to happen in the future. So she knows she is a dangerous little bitch. But... how that plays itself out remains to be seen, because that's pretty much where the issue ends in terms of important plot lines. Jean Grey hasn't been resurrected, in theory. She's sort of just in the book because it's her past self. Is it temporary, this whole Jean Grey situation? More unlikely. But could this lead to a new version of Jean Grey appearing in the X-Men books?
Clone!
Or just alternate dimension. I mean, she was in the Age of Apocalypse dimension there. Yeah. It's entirely possible it's just another Jean Grey.
Say clone!
I thought the issues were good. Bendis, of course, the writing has been good. I mean, the first issue wasn't anything that immediately grabbed my attention, but the second issue was a pretty impressive follow-up. I dug that one a lot. Frank Cho, like I said, draws a pretty woman. You can't really hate him for it. And as far as Immonen on All New X-Men, did a great, great job. Are we grading these separately or cohesively, like as a whole?
I would just do it one cohesively. It's one story, really.
Then cohesively, I give it a 5 out of 5 Warriors.
Whoa!
I know, but Bendis, he
It was a good way to have these both of these books come out in the same week.
Yeah, well, that was a really smart book. And that goes a lot. That gives me a little bit of grace towards Bendis in this book, because I don't know. It's just something about the book. I love alternate futures and storylines and stuff, and this stuff just gets me. And I think it's one of the reasons why I like the X-Men so much. But this whole thing as it's playing out has me questioning, oh, great, well, what the fuck did these younger X-Men do now? I mean, knowing Jean, it's probably something Phoenix-related. I can't really be certain.
Well, she hasn't had the Phoenix. It's probably just because she's just fucking shit up and being stupid.
The smart money is on the Phoenix Force, though. Just saying.
She hasn't had the Phoenix, though.
I'm just saying. Look at the track record. Anything historically bad that Jean Grey has done has almost entirely been in conjunction with the Phoenix Force. That's just the way it is in comic books. It's like saying the only person who doesn't get resurrected is Uncle Ben. You know, Jean Grey does something stupid and bad, the Phoenix Force is usually involved. That's just the way it is. Like, we don't know what this new Jean Grey has in terms of, you know, powers or something. She could be carting the Phoenix Force for all we know. That being said, I'll wrap myself up here. Bendis did great. Cho did great. Emma Min did great. I love the future storyline. I love the future lineup of the X-Men. Fucking Deadpool. And I am looking forward to the next installment just to find out how bad Jean Grey fucked up, because when this uppity little, you know, this little girl gets going, nothing will bring you more pleasure than to see her just fall flat on her face. And I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen real, real bad. But yeah, I gave it a 5 out of 5 Warriors. It was good stuff. I dug it all. I dug a lot of it.
Go for it.
Okay. I won't give it a 5. I'll give it a 4.3 though.
Cohesively? Like all
yeah, cohesively. Taken as just a part as the story. I'll give it a 4.3. It's kept my attention. Especially what happened in All New X-Men 16. That was like, what? You know?
Yeah.
Really, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad at all.
I understand your hesitance, too, because in case any of our listeners have forgotten, Bendis also did a little time travel storyline not too long ago, and that was kind of...
But, see, part of my problem was, this is something that should have happened a long time ago. You know, the fact that they kept these kids here.
It was 16 up to this issues. Point,
yeah, which means that we're talking about a year and a half our time.
Which is not even like, what, 2 months their time?
Duh, you never
Maybe
know.
Not even?
Sometimes better, 6 months is like half a year. So, but what I'm saying is this. The purpose to which he brought them back, to which Hank brought them back, had already long been concluded. Long been concluded. They should have gone back as soon as that shit got done. No, what they did was the kids decided that they would stay, and the others went, oh, okay, well, then we're going to train you. Which makes no fucking sense, because they're just going to go back in time and forget all this shit anyway. All right.
Stop ruining my fun, damn it.
But the thing that kind of twerked me, and this issue particularly, actually has to do with Logan and Jean Grey. Not young Jean Grey, who, as I said before, really just needs somebody to smack her. Because she's been acting out almost since day one. And despite the whole, I'm going to die and I'm going to have a big flaming thing, which I understand. You know, I mean, it's rough knowing your future, especially when you know how bad it'll be. Mm. But almost every issue since she's learned that she's a telepath, she'll be a telepath, has had at least two people tell her, stop peeking into people's heads. Stop it. Stop peeking
Lest
into people's
we forget
heads.
What she did to Warren.
When was the last time
you
told a teenager to stop something and they did stop something?
My nephew, and I smacked him upside the head.
It happened,
and he
so it's accurate. So that means she's accurately written as a
But
character.
That was the first Perfect. Time.
Shit, we need Taser running this school. We need Taser running this school. These kids have learned something.
Oh, yeah.
Headmaster Taser.
We're talking knuckles upside the head. There is no second and third tellings. That shit don't happen.
Just import all the teachers from like the Bronx and shit and just throw them.
Well, it says something that Logan's not teaching them. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Kitty Pryde. But my thing is this
Professor though. Kitty Pryde, even though she's not a professor.
And Professor my ass. Anyway, what tweaks me is when the future X-Men come back, and you know, really they just had to make Beast all more bestial with a cane. All right. But when they show up and you've got, you know, these individuals in front of them, and then Logan starts to go around sniffing. Okay? Now, I understand that this is not your daddy's Logan, because your daddy's Logan could tell anybody in the room with his eyes closed just by smelling. Okay? So, he didn't smell Jean Grey?
He didn't smell Zorn, or that Zorn was Magneto.
That's what I'm... Which I didn't read, and I can't explain. Okay,
I'm not saying for you to explain. I'm just saying there's precedent for writers to ignore that ability that he has. Because if that's the case,
there is, and you're right. But when she disappears,
or maybe he did smell her, and it's just deniability.
No,
or maybe just maybe that because it's an alternate dimension, she doesn't smell the same.
No.
It's
not at fucking all. I'm not buying that.
Wolverine's sense of smell is one of the most inconsistent abilities written for him ever.
Well, that's another thing. Also, if you look at Jean Grey, she's younger than old Kitty Pryde. Look at him.
Yeah, no, yes, so it's not the Jean Grey that everybody knows. It's the Jean Grey from the team that we see
but
now.
This is, remember, if we're talking the new Marvel Now time thing, because remember, old Marvel used to be, you didn't go into your future, you went into a branch, you know, which split off from your, whatever your now was, you went and it branched off from your now. You didn't go into your actual future, you went into somewhere else. But Wolverine fucked that up somehow in Age of Ultron, and this... According to what we've been told, and according to what they're doing with Marvel Now, this is supposed to be the future X-Men. Okay? So,
okay. Anyways.
Hello?
Taser.
Moving on. Taser will come back with his thoughts in a second.
I think he got stuck on a thought.
Yeah. Well, that happens.
I don't know. I kind of got interrupted.
The girl didn't want to, you know, have to take it in the mouth.
Watching the tentacle porn.
So, any other thoughts you have, Taser?
No. What I'm saying is just, I think she's... When I said earlier clone, I kind of meant that. She does not look as old as she should be compared to her partner, Kitty Pryde, from the future. Okay? Kitty Pryde in the future looks like she could be everybody's, I won't say grandma. She could almost be Aunt May. Okay? She actually looks old, you know, compared to Jean Grey. Jean Grey looks like she just walked out the spa, all nice and lovely.
Maybe she did moisturize.
She
learned her lesson.
I would like to refer you to Old Man Logan wearing Emma Frost, psychically projected she was young and beautiful, when in fact she was an old hag, it was implied. So it could be that she's just a vain bitch, like we've been saying.
But I don't think she did that. She's been doing that here. I don't believe
it. But we don't know. But we don't
know. All right, I'll agree with that. Fair point. But I don't think that this is the same Jean Grey who was the young chick. I think something happened. She might have died for a while, or she's a clone. One of the two.
It's Hope Summers.
Well,
Wolverine can pick up on her.
I've got a question. It might relate to that. I was actually going through the second issue, looking back at it, and it's the final page, or the second to last page, I'm sorry, where she tells Kitty, you made a promise to me, and it's time you kept it. What was that promise about?
I have to read the issues, because I don't know if maybe they haven't...
issue before? Like an issue or two before?
I don't remember, because I read so many comics, but I have to look through it again.
Because I'll be honest, for me personally, I guess I can go ahead and share what I kind of thought of it.
Okay, go ahead.
The only X-Men book I've been reading is Uncanny X-Men, and considering they're kind of like the least used of the group so far... I didn't really feel much of a connection to any of the characters. A lot of this is brand new for me personally. I got to tell you, I had a really good time with it. Starting out, you know, I kind of made the joke that this was Back to the Future 2 with X-Men.
Bendis does love Back to the Future, I'll tell you that much.
And honestly, that's what it is. And it doesn't upset me. I don't know if maybe that's just me accepting stories for what they are now, or maybe I just maybe don't care as much, but it's so Back to the Future 2. But I enjoyed it. And I'll tell you the thing I think I enjoyed the most, and it was so funny that you all said you all liked issue 2 so much more, when I actually enjoyed issue 1 much more than issue 2. And the thing I enjoyed, and to me it really showed off Bendis' talent for dialogue, is just how different the young X-Men communicate and how different their characters are compared to their future selves. I loved Bobby in this. Oh my god, he was cracking me up. It makes me want to.
He's
go
like
back.
That the entire book. I'll tell you that.
Then
much.
I have to go back and read it. Because
yeah, you should. Yeah.
To me personally, that was the most entertaining aspect of both of these issues. Was that group playing off each other? Bobby being what he was, and then Beast was, you know, who he was, and they kind of had like. They did kind of have like kind of a cornier dialogue set, but it didn't go so far to where it took me out of the story or it made me be like, ugh, I don't like these characters. Like, it was perfect. They were just from a different time period, and I think Bendis pulled that off exceptionally well. You know, the whole aspect of starting the story out with Sentinels, you know, it's kind of played, so that part of it I really didn't dig a whole lot. It's kind of like, okay, Sentinels attack, they fight the Sentinels, now we have to get on to what all this means. I don't know if she's going to show up anymore, but the mutant that they were called out originally to fight against, I mean, I fucking love her already. I want to see more of this chick who's like summoning.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to her.
Monsters
just kind of
the power, and she looks like she belongs like in a punk rock band, and I want to bang her. So I want to see more of her. I want to see more of these demons and dragons and punk rock hot chick with gray hair. I want more of that. So moving on through issue 1. The Uncanny X-Men show up to save the day, and that's when I got interested. I was like, yeah, finally the X-Men that are being represented that I love to read. And they kind of show up, and they just whoop a wholesale ass. And the young X-Men are kind of like, oh, shit. Which I kind of liked. I thought that was very interesting. Have they played off the Uncanny X-Men at all?
A little bit.
A little bit? Because not, I thought it was...
like they had a improv, like a unofficial crossover when the book started with Uncanny. If you read the book, you know that Warren is part of the team now.
Yes, he ended up joining. Yes.
So there's that. And then when All New X-Men started, before they became the Uncanny X-Men, they had a confrontation where in Austin, Texas, where they freaking burned the University of Texas down, apparently.
Okay, because I thought it was kind of odd that they see Magneto there and don't think.
No, they freak out. Like, what the fuck is. Why are you with
Magneto?
Oh,
okay. So
they
that
freak the
earlier.
Fuck out.
Okay, okay. So no, that. No, no, no. That part of it, okay, I'm fine with it. It was so funny. Like, I just get this image of Bendis sitting there, like, wanting to put so much Back to the Future into the story of where Scott gets killed and he disappears. I'm just like, Bendis, I mean, that it's just so fucking obvious.
Beast should have definitely mutated into Doc Brown.
And then I think the line you were talking about that you thought maybe was from Back to the Future is when Magic says, and you cease to exist. Well,
yeah.
There's a line in Back to the Future where Doc Brown's, and he's like, you've been erased from existence. So that's
something
kind of
like that, yeah.
That was,
about
it's a similar forward. Line. I mean, it's the same fucking idea of when Marty is at the dance and he can see his hand disappearing. I mean, it's just so fucking obvious. But at the same time, I don't care because I love it. Like, I'm having fun with it. And then fucking Jean Grey has to come in and just take a shit on everything that I was like.
I said, that girl needs to get smacked.
Like, honestly, it's going to take a lot for her to be redeemed, this story, in my opinion. Because at this point, I'm kind of hoping this whole thing ends with the thing that needs to happen is that someone snipes her in the head. And that's how all this... Like, she's the sports almanac in this story for what sports almanac was in Back to the Future 2. I'm hoping Jean Grey, they just need to fucking light that thing on fire, destroy it, fix the future, go back, save your girlfriend who you knocked out.
Save the cheerleader. Save the world.
Exactly.
Save the redhead! God save the redheads!
Well, of course.
You know what? I kind of like the designs on the future X-Men. Like, the Beast just... He just gets beastlier. I mean, it's just like... He can't help it. It's just... He's like, fucking horns and shit. And his claws are getting bigger. It's like he just...
And a cane.
It's like no matter...
I'm a monster!
Like, no matter what kind of... He can't get any kind of plastic surgery that's going to help him.
I am not an animal.
I'll be honest, the thing that intrigues me most about this future X-Men is I have to find out what the fuck happened to Bobby. I mean, what the hell, man?
Like, I'll say it again. Yeah, I think he got lobotomized.
You think that's what happened?
I mean, he's dumb. He's an idiot. He's...
How did that make him turn into something bigger than the Hulk?
Well, maybe it's... I don't know. I can't explain how his powers work. I just think he's like an idiot, just completely mindless, lobotomization.
I don't think he uttered a word. He just, like, grunted the whole time.
Maybe he had a stroke.
Right. They better answer that because, to me, that's one of the...
I don't think they will. I think it'll be one of those things where, like...
I don't know.
I mean, comics you do that all the time, you'll meet an alternate future and you don't know what the fuck that's about. And it's just there. Leaving you wanting more.
But that's usually if it's a one-off. I don't think that these characters are going to go back to the future come next issue.
But once this crossover is done, maybe we won't see them for a while.
They'll come back.
But I think we'll find out what happened to Bobby and we'll find out how Jean's...
It's a 10-part crossover, so...
Fine, but what I'm saying is they're going to have a part where they'll be standing or sitting around someplace and somebody will go, hey, Jean, what happened to Bobby? That's Bobby? What happened? And, you know, there'll be some kind of explanation. Because you can't just put him there and not say what happened. That's not going
to
work.
And to further my point of just how terrible Jean is so far in this story, this is the first thing she said. Like, I don't know if y'all remember this. When they come out of the portal, this is literally the first thing she says. We're here because your worst fears have been realized. You did screw everything up. Everything. What the fuck? I'd be like, "What? Who the fuck are you, buddy? I don't even... Who are you?" Like, she thinks that's the best thing to say when coming out of a fucking time portal.
I would think she would come back to the past.
Like, that would be your first instinct. Like, tell people that you know and love from the future, from the past, they screwed up. And that you're trying to help them, but yet that's the first
thing.
Now
you're fucked up.
Yeah.
So
you're done.
Not only does
up.
She fuck up in her future self, her past self tries to create trouble. And I was just like, oh my god.
Hold on, she doesn't say that. That's Beast.
Is it Beast? I swear it was pointing.
The word
at
balloon is pointing towards him.
No,
well, Beast is getting a bit big for his bitches,
too. No, it's definitely looking at her right now. It's pointed towards her. It's her, because she has
no
mask on.
It says, we're here to stop you from making a terrible mistake. The balloon is pointing towards Beast.
No, I'm talking about the spread.
Oh.
In issue 2. I'm sorry, I'm on issue 2.
Okay, all right. I thought you meant issue 1. My bad.
No, I'm sorry. It's the spread in issue 2, which I don't know if that's supposed to be happening at the same time or...
It's a little bit after, I think. You mean issue 2?
That or it's happening simultaneously. They just...
Yeah. That's her. Yeah, that's her.
In issue 2. I don't know how that...
You didn't realize you did screw everything up. Everything.
You are right, though. It kind of looks like it's the same scene. Just
a few seconds after?
Yeah, maybe exactly. That's what it is. But again, it's... you screwed everything up. He just says, you know, we're here to help you. She's just like, you fucked it all up, assholes. God, if I was Wolverine there, I mean, to me, well, that might be a mischaracterization on Bendis' part, but it seems like Wolverine might be a little more pissed off at someone he doesn't
That's
know.
Just a Marvel editorial thing.
No, but hold on. You got to like his reply, though, and which of our numerous terrible mistakes are you talking about?
Like,
what the fuck do we do now?
It's almost like he accepts it now. He's like,
he's about to pull out a notebook. All right.
Here's... I don't need to go snickety snick yet. Just quit being a dick. Gene. But
well, she's a girl. She can't exactly be a dick. But,
She could be a.
She could be a cunt.
Bitch.
Yeah, there it is.
Here's what I thought of X-Men Battle of the Atom.
Let me give my score just real quick. Okay. Kind of ramble on, I'm sorry, but you know, even the things I didn't really like about it, I love to hate it. So too low of a score. The art's out of this world. I mean, there's nothing really to complain about to me in the art. I didn't look at a design and think, man, that was fucking awful. I thought all the designs were top notch. I fucking love future Deadpool.
Hell yeah.
I didn't think I'd ever see an unmasked Deadpool design that I liked, but they pulled this off.
I never thought I'd see him join the X-Men, of all things.
Who, me?
Shit's gotten bad when Deadpool joins the X-Men.
I never thought I'd see him join the X-Men.
Oh, yeah. So, well, they're desperate, obviously. So,
hey. Yeah.
Well, I love Deadpool.
No, you're right. They went to such extreme lengths to keep him away from the X-Men. I mean, ridiculous.
I think together, I would rate this... I'll give it a 3.9 out of 5. I would probably rate the first issue a little bit higher than the second because the whole Gene thing screwing up, just while I loved to hate it, it still didn't make me love it. And I just, what the fuck is all it made me really say. So I will give it overall 3.9. Art, out of this world. A couple of mistakes, I think, on Bendis' part, but overall, I enjoyed the back and forth of the young mutants with the future. Great, great entertaining read. It is Back to the Future too, but that shouldn't keep you from reading it and having a good time. So, I'm done.
I thought that the first chapter was a great introduction to anybody who was curious about these X-Men books for the most part. Especially definitely all new X-Men and Uncanny. It kind of sets up, resets up like, okay, here's this, here's that. It was actually cool to see the X-Men, all of them battling Sentinels together, just for nostalgia factor, because kind of considering they've been divided for a couple years now. Frank Cho is always good. The one thing y'all will probably ignore, but the fucking thing when Scott, and this is kind of a spoiler for you, Johnny V, but if you don't care, you don't care.
No, I don't care.
Well, it kind of fucking broke my heart and made me hate Jean just a little bit because I'm the only one who seems to give her any love in this show, is that in the last issue, she like Beast admitted that he was in love with Cyclops. I mean, in love with Jean Grey.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
And they kissed. And so to see her run off, not with Beast, because I guess she knew that Beast wouldn't do what needed to be done. So she runs off with Cyclops and says, we're going to do this together.
She always knows the boy toy is going to come with her.
Which I was like, as the person who was like, Beast, you know, don't, you can't, you know, until you get the courage, whatever. Like, my heart fucking broke for Beast. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh, man, she ditches you for the guy she, you know, who likes her just as much as you do. So I like that much a lot. Logan's nose doesn't work because it's been punched in the face too many times. So.
Oh, bullshit.
There you go. That's my excuse. Or maybe that helmet just emits pheromones to where it can't tell you who the wearer is because this is twice now that.
They didn't ask her telepathy. They might have had the, you know.
I don't care. The point. I'm going with the bullshit excuse that fucking mask emits some kind of misting pheromone to block Wolverine's senses. That's what I'm saying. I just liked it. You know, it was like the sort of rip-roaring action that you can only find in an X-Men comic, that the tone is different than an Avengers book or anything else. So I just like that, you know? And I love that little line that Wolverine says, what the fuck did we do now? I just, that was great. Bendis is great. This book's great. The X-Men books overall that I read are fantastic. Yes, 4 out of 5 for me.
And I'll agree, Uncanny X-Men has been fucking awesome.
That's the one that I do not read, and I will be introduced into this series when it comes out, when that chapter hits.
So I would highly recommend it. It's been, I think the highlight of it is that the new mutants that's introduced have been very intriguing, which I guess is another thing I should say that I didn't like about this, is they only brought Christopher over when there's so many other new mutants that I thought deserved a little bit of screen time.
It's a 10-chapter story. Maybe we'll get
exactly there. That's true.
So let's move on to from one event to the next event, the event that's already several chapters in, Infinity! The Cosmic! Oh, yes, because apparently I'm Thanos, and I want the Infinity
Gems. Why does Thanos sound like Bane from Dark Knight Rises?
Because I really, bitches!
Sounds like more like an English dandy.
I'm here to fulfill destiny, yes. Anyways, okay. So I really, really, really am digging this fucking book. I'm a fat ass fucking liar because I said I'm not interested. I don't care. I'm a troll.
This I remember boring. Seeing that post.
And you know what? I will eat my words because I am having so much fun with this. The Mass Effect feel to it, especially in Avengers and in the main book, makes my inner Mass Effect fanboy skitty so much. I love New Avengers number 6 because of the classic, you go fight this person, you go fight this person. I love that kind of shit. Mike Deodato was awesome in New Avengers number 6. I thought, Namor's kind of a dick because he sent all of Thanos' forces to Wakanda.
Yeah, that's new.
So it's like, what the f- – dude, really? That scene, because I had no idea what happened because I didn't read the recap page, doesn't give you any context why Namor's in that position of why he's in that, why he doesn't fight Proxima Midnight. But apparently, Wakanda had nuked Atlantis. So Namor was just too weakened to defeat, to fight. So,
not even nuke, they just so, wanted to fuck so, shit up.
So, and Doctor Strange is being mentally tortured, it seems, by the Ebony Maw.
Is my favorite out of this fucking group.
Yeah, and then fucking Corvus Glaive and Supergiant go to the Jean Grey school of the Jean Grey school and freaking just whoop some ass. Although they stop from Supergiant, it looks like she's a telepath, and or she can mimic a build something. It wasn't really clear. Apparently, Corvus Glaive cannot die unless his glaive dies. Don't know what the fuck that means, but it sounds awesome, and 13-year-old Ben is liking it. Especially when he that awesome page where he fucking guts Logan right in the middle. It's just an awesome scene done by Deodato. Infinity number 2, however, I feel that this is exactly what I was afraid of, though, in that if I feel like you're going to need to read Avengers and New Avengers because it was a lot more of, okay, you're telling me all this, but I want to see it. And the stuff they showed was great. And Brian, I know you. Did you read it?
Oh my God, yes.
So Jerome Pena is fucking awesome.
Oh my God, I love this so much.
So good to see him. So good to see him on a big scale book like this.
Oh, so good.
He deserves it. You know, it was the art was great. I'm really liking where the story is coming from. You know, I'm hooked, man. God damn it, Marvel, you keep dragging me in. But I legitimately am liking the story. I reserve the right to change my mind about the series in case it falls apart. But as of right now, I'm liking this two-front war, cosmic Earth battle kind of thing going on. I like it. Y'all have anything to say?
It's so good! Oh my God! I when last issue ended with T'Challa pretty much saying, hey, Namor, listen, I'm sorry, but fuck you. And he flew off, and then these guys landed, and I thought it couldn't get any better, but it did. It got so much better. I love the concept, the creation of these new characters, of Thanos' lieutenants, and how they each confront these members of the Illuminati looking for the one gem that remained, you know, the one gem to rule them all. And it's just, it's so good. And Ebony Maw is perhaps my favorite, just because of how he just sits there toying with Strange, and he's like all weird, like a pervert, you know, kind of like caressing his face and rubbing his chest, and it's not creepy at all, but it kind of is, and you just see him. Oh my god! And just that scene where he pulls Strange's head back, and he's got his teeth bared, ready to go. Oh my god! He's such a cool design. I love him. Probably my favorite out of them. But all of these lieutenants who just give these supposedly the top tier characters of Marvel's, you know, superhero, the Marvel Elite, they just give them shit. It is superb. And I have to be honest with you, I actually kind of wondered if Hickman's devotion to like three of these books was going to like distract him in any way. Not in any way whatsoever. This book sold me on the fact that he can do a huge crossover event and still pen the tie-ins like nothing. Like he hasn't missed a beat. I love it. I love it. I love it. And oh my god, the art is so good and the writing is so good. And so as you can tell by my little nerdgasm going on here,
it's so good.
New Avengers jumped up.
All these boners are making me want to read it.
New Avengers jumped up a notch in my book. I really dug this issue, and I can't wait to see where it goes. Really, it's gonna be a great ride. But yeah, I give this one a similar 5 out of 5 earlier, just based on this one alone. It was brilliant. Factor in Infinity, same thing. I mean, Infinity, you're right, Iggy. I mean, it's got that Mass Effect quality to it, pinpointed from day one. They weren't that, you know, subtle about it. But even still, just the way how this vibe exists, where it's like, oh, we gotta save the galaxy, team, let's do it. It's like a suicide mission. It's brilliant. I love it. It's so much fun.
Boom.
And I, if you recall, a few weeks ago, was totally hesitant in putting in
for the tie-ins.
Yeah, for not even for the tie-ins, for Infinity in general.
Yeah,
I was gonna just skip on this one, and I'm so glad I didn't.
So far, it's worth that. Four books altogether. Yeah. It seems to be going pretty good.
Yeah, it lands somewhere between a minimalist look at tie-ins and, like, Blackest Night, wherein...
Oh, no, the tie-ins are going to hit the shit fan, like, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah, so I'm going to have to watch my back there, but as long as I'm just buying the mainline Avengers books and Infinity, I think I'll be okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that
being said, of course, if you want more, they're there, so...
Absolutely.
That's always...
And, yeah, I mean, there was, like I said, Avengers Assemble last week with Jessica Drew was a real great read, but I didn't feel obligated to buy it. I just picked it because it was cool. And that being said, that gives me a new sense of freedom with this, though at heart I am something of a completionist, so I'll have to carefully monitor my spendings. But like I said, as long as you're buying the Infinity and the mainline Avengers books, you shouldn't have a problem with it. I dug the hell out of this week. It was beautiful. So I'll give it a 5 out of 5, and I'll... pass it on.
Last but not least, T-Man, you're the Mr. Skeptic. Did you like Infinity as much as B-Ryan and I did?
I can't give it a 5. I can give it a 4, but that's because of the development in number 2, you know? And not because, ooh, Thanos has a what? But it's more like, huh? Thanos has to say, what? You know? Like with what Hickman did with the Infinity Gems, it's an interesting story wrinkle. And I want to see how he plays this out, because did anybody finish reading Thanos Rising?
I'm waiting for the trade.
No.
Wait, is that series over already?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fifth one came out, last week?
I stopped after the second one because it blew ass.
Oh, does it? God damn it.
What happened?
I had that trade pre-ordered on Amazon. I got it for $10.
What'd you say, Jamie?
I said I read up to issue 2 and it started blowing ass, so I stopped.
Oh. Well, that's your opinion.
And that's saying a lot, considering I'm a huge Jason Aaron fan.
Wow. I'll say this as some, all right. I have the oldest running reading history amongst anybody here. Okay, so I kind of remember stuff from before most of y'all were born, and I remember how things played out. Especially even if you go back as far as Infinity Gauntlet. Okay, they were just things that happened differently, and with the Thanos Rising. Where we ended up there is like,
what? Mm-hmm. Oh, hell no. So, with the whole thing about spoilers, Thanos' kid, you know, somehow being in, you know, on a Tillin, or at least Black Bolt knowing about Thanos' kid, which is weird because that would make him an Eternal, you know. So you got to have an Eternal hanging out with a bunch of Inhumans, whatever. I don't see that, you know, and it's a wrinkle that I want to see how Hickman irons it out. You know, he's got my interest. I can't say that the story's been like awesome or anything like that. The art's been fine. I love the art, but the story, I want to see how he gets out. You know, so it's not the end. You know, it's not the end. It's like sex. It's not the end. It's the out that matters. What? What
I said? That might be like the of the week right there. I don't know if anything's gonna beat it. it's like sex. Not the end.
No, but seriously, it has my interest. That's the best I can say about it, because I'm not the biggest, you know, Hickman fan waver. You know, he hasn't sold me like that. But that right there, him having a kid and somehow Black Bolt's got, you know, some idea about that, that is interesting, and I want to see how it plays out.
Bum, bum, now,
yeah, everything else, you know, with
the Builders.
Well, New Avengers is separate. New Avengers, I like New Avengers. Okay, that's just it right there. But
Taser liking something.
Hey, but, it's a great book.
It's
Uncanny,
like,
Avengers is still better.
Yeah, but I'll say this: with New Avengers, I don't really care about the whole alternate universes crashing, and we have to say,
I would have figured that shit would have played in this book, but so far, no. Maybe it will.
It's been very minimal, and I don't doubt that it will come to play at some point. But I don't really care about that. I could care less. What I was there in New Avengers for was...
I was there at New Avengers.
Namor and Black Panther
took over the world.
And I wanted to see what was going to happen there.
Sorry.
But anyway, Hickman has my attention here, you know, and hasn't wavered like it has on fucking Avengers. Oh, my God. That book's just a waste as far as I'm concerned. I don't care about anything there. You know, it's so esoteric. It's like, what? Huh? And that book is something you should be paying attention to also. I don't care about it. I don't touch it. I stopped reading it, you know? New Avengers is different. And I'll at least for the next, I'll give it another two, you know? At least. I'm going to be sticking with Infinity. So I guess I'll give it a four, you know. Thanos' kid, that's an interesting wrinkle. I want to see how he irons it out, you know, and I just want to see what it looks like. So yeah, I'll give it a thumbs up.
All right, so that was Event Mania. Yeah, what you gonna do when Event Mania runs wild on you?
Snap it to safety.
Rest in peace. All right, so the time has finally come. I wanted to do this earlier, but obviously I was in retirement, so I couldn't do it. Our top five Marvel Now books. Obviously, we are coming up on the one-year anniversary of Marvel Now, but fuck it, we're doing it early because that's how I roll and that's how we roll. So, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, our top five Marvel Now books. Now, I want to preface this that if any of you bitch about, oh, where's Hawkeye? West. Oh, where's Daredevil? Some person who follows me. Well, they are great books, but they are not Marvel Now books. I'm talking about Marvel Now books that were relaunched with a number one. So no Wolverine, X-Men, or no Hawkeye. No. So just want to preface that before we go forward. My number five is Indestructible Hulk. I love Banner Bill's Hulk Smash. Yes.
Minute, hold on. Are you going from one to five? Or
I'm
five
going
to
five to one. 5-1. I like doing 5-1. Number 4 will have to be Captain America. Number 4, that book has ripped my heart out so many fucking times. It genre, combine that with John Romita Jr.'s great art, it's just, and it's such a different Cap story than I've read in recent memory. Number three, Young Avengers. It's just a perfect fucking storm of writer and artist together. It's just so damn good. I knew it would be good, but I didn't know it would be this good. So, needless to say, Young Avengers. Number two, the book we were talking about earlier, All New X-Men. The melodrama, the time travel stuff, just the overall hanging out. That one last issue where it was just, you know, Beast admitting that he loved Jean Grey, but he couldn't tell her, and the melodrama that Jean Grey doesn't want anything to do with Cyclops, or, you know, Jean Grey, just the entire Bobby just being an idiot because he's a kid, because he's a teenager, he's a kid, he's an idiot, you know, the fight, it's just so good. It's just so good. And finally, and this doesn't come with a surprise, because as if you know me, you know what my number one is. My number one is Uncanny Fucking Avengers. This book is the perfect fucking storm. It has that Avengers epic end-of-the-world feel of the big threats that only the Avengers can handle. Combine that with the tone and the drama that the X-Men have had for years for me. You combine that with great art by John Cassaday and Daniel Acuña. Add an apocalypse mythos to this, and Celestials, and freaking killing a Celestial with Jurgurd, as I pronounced Thor's axe. It's just a very unique lineup of, you know, Wolverine and Firestar, not Firestar, Sunfire, Thor, Rogue, if Scarlet only. Witch, Havoc, Captain America. It's just such a unique. It remind like it's like, you know, West Coast Avengers. It's such a unique team of heroes. Like, you wouldn't think of putting them together initially, but when you put them together, sometimes magic happens. That's what this book is to me. Uncanny Avengers is just firing on all fucking cylinders. It's just, oh my god. That's the best, in my opinion, that is the best Marvel Now book going on right now. It's the best Avengers book, in my opinion. It's the best Marvel Now book, period. Uncanny Avengers. I've said my piece.
Who wants to I can go.
You can go.
Do it, JV. Do it.
Here's my top five. And I have to preface this top five by saying I haven't read a whole lot of Marvel Now. So pretty much five and four I either hate or I just stopped reading because it stopped interesting.
Lol. It's one of them five, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Number five. Well, no, that would be on there. Oh. But it took so quickly for me not to give a shit about that book that I didn't even put it on this list. So
I understand that.
Yep.
Here we go. Number five is Deadpool. yet again, Daniel Way, I wanted to give a nut punch to for so long because you want to talk about turning what was once a character to a caricature. Daniel Way fucking pulled it off. Now, fucking Posen and whoever, I don't even, the comedians who wanted to write Deadpool even took that whole idea and even ran with it further than Daniel Way ever even fucking thought about. It's gotten to the point where I just have no hope for it anymore, really, in terms of Deadpool. Anyone even grasping to what makes him intriguing. And it, nobody's got it, ever, except for, in my opinion, Joe Kelly and Gail Simone. No one's come close since those two. So anyway, moving on for number five. Number four is Iron Man. Gillen, he's been so hit or miss with me. When he first started on Iron Man, I was very, very interested in that plot development. And it seems like after that first arc, it just, my interest waned further and further and further. Where I'm not reading Iron Man now, but I put it number four ahead of Deadpool because I actually liked the first arc and it kept me interested for a little while. Moving on to number three is The Uncanny X-Men. This fucking book, X-Men is another series I'm very hit or miss with. It's it takes a unique story for me to really rally behind them, because I've always complained that there's only so much humanity hates us, woe is me type storytelling that you can do with them. And to me, to make that intriguing, a lot has to happen. And I think Uncanny X-Men did this in a very interesting way by incorporating S.H.I.E.L.D. into the mix. And so far, the whole aspect, you know, bringing Dazzler back and adding her to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s forces, oh, I thought that was a great choice. I've loved all the new mutants in Uncanny X-Men. To me, there hasn't been a weak link, and that's very odd, because to me, there's always a weak new mutant they try to bring along, whether it's fucking Pixie or whoever the fuck no one really cares about. There's always that weak link, but I think the new mutants in Uncanny X-Men have been just, you know, have been a blast. I thought they've integrated that really well with kind of like the whole underground aspect of the team, and it's kind of like, how can we trust these people? They're fucking crazy. And I love Scott's progression. I didn't read AVX, so again, I was kind of new coming into Uncanny X-Men, knowing exactly what led that team to be where they are. But even not knowing that, I've enjoyed everything they've gone through, whether it's Magneto using his subterfuge to kind of play the double agent with S.H.I.E.L.D. So number three was Uncanny X-Men. Been a really good read. Number two is Cable and X-Force, which to me, next to what number one is going to be, is probably the most fun book on the shelf. Like, Cable and X-Force is the kind of book I could recommend to anyone, whether you're someone that, you know, just loves great action or great art or entertaining storytelling. To me, it's a book that doesn't really have that weak link to where you can point at it and be like, you know, you shouldn't read it because of this. You know, it's fun without being stupid, and that's a very difficult balance to pull off to me in the comic book world. But that team has been great. And number one, and not only is this the number one Marvel Now book, this has been my number one book probably for the past 6 months.
Do it, JB.
Thor, God of Mother Fucking Thunder.
Hell yeah!
Honestly, easily the best Thor story I've ever read. Whether it was the lead-up with God Butcher or God Bomb, to me, both of those go hand-in-hand. And to me, honestly, as much as a fan I've always been of Jason Aaron, I honestly think God of Thunder is his masterpiece. And that's saying a lot. I mean, ever since I got back into the world of comics, which was probably about 5 to 6 years ago, God, it's been that long, his work on Heaven's on Fire, Ghost Rider, been in love ever since, read as much as I can of Jason Aaron, so I've really, you know, been attached to his work. And to me, God of Thunder is a swan song. They're everything to me that makes Thor a character to attach yourself to is represented perfectly in that book. And the ending pissed me off of God Bomb.
Don't spoil it.
It pissed me off for the right reasons, so I won't say anything beyond that. But just everything in that book, from his characterizations of young Thor, Avengers Thor, and old King Thor, the way they played off each other, the art, you know, kind of representing that just cosmic level shenanigans, I guess that's the best way I can put it. The art just represented it all perfectly. I thought it had a perfect villain for the story. I thought it was an intriguing villain, had good backstory, good progression for going through with his plan. To me, it epitomizes everything Thor is about and why he's one of my favorite characters. And to me, again, I'll reiterate, not just my number one Marvel Now book, but my favorite book on the shelf from probably the past 6 to 8 months. So that would be my top five.
B-Rai, your top five Marvel Now books.
Let me preface my list going in by just saying that the fact that I couldn't include Daredevil and Hawkeye on this list broke my heart, because it is Marvel Now. And
but they aren't.
I know. I wish they were so they could be included, but show must go on. So, first, I just want to get this out of the way, get any argument out of the way. I got to give out an honorable mention, if I may do so.
Go for it.
Uncanny Avengers.
Didn't
list for me.
You're fired. You didn't have to say anything, but you did. You're fired.
It wasn't anything against the quality of the books themselves, but the book has consistently been caught up in events and subpar crossovers.
Uncanny Avengers?
Yeah.
No, it hasn't.
For the most part.
How is it? Okay, what did it cross over with, jackass?
Look, I'm just trying to say that the stuff it's carrying over from...
Are you talking about the fact that it's carrying on from what Uncanny X-Force did? Mm-mm. And AVX? Two books that you don't have to read to read this story? Is that what you're saying? Somebody do a Yoda.
What the hell?
I'm trying to do Yoda.
Happening right now?
Okay, this is...
The point is you're wrong and you're making false statements. I don't like it.
Fine. Didn't list for me. But fine. Moving on. Okay, I'll go in reverse order. Number 5. Much as I may bag on it, I actually dig all new X-Men. I like it a lot. I dig the concept. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of time travel and alternate futures and storylines and stuff like that. And the idea of the retro X-Men coming into the future and clashing with the present day and seeing the future that they for the better part, built themselves and how they react in some cases disgust, in other cases awe of who they'll become, what they've brought down. It's intriguing to see, and I like it a lot. And Bendis, of course, does great. Immaman, I think, has been the most consistent artist on the book. I think they've switched off once or twice, but Immaman does impeccable art. So, but that being said, some of them do have serious character flaws, Jean Grey being the most prime example. And some of the stuff with Mystique and the quote-unquote Brotherhood fell out of place, so, you know, I didn't rank it too high, but... Number 4, Young Avengers, because it's fucking awesome. Avengers. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying, man.
I would get rid of fucking Deadpool, then. I'll pick
Ouch.
You're just going to replace, where's Young Avengers ranking on your list, then?
5, right?
Sorry. I'll put Young Avengers at number 4, push... Deadpool out, Iron Man would be 5. I forgot Young Avengers.
Yeah, Kieron Gillen and Jimmy McKelvey have been doing something that consistently has been not only entertaining, because the characters in this book are as colorful as can be. Jimmy McKelvey's art also adds to that literal coloring, but it's innovative in the illustration layouts that McKelvey comes up with, in the storylines and how they're presented through Gillen's writing. It's something new and fresh every single week, and I love that about this book, that it keeps up the feel of just something new. It is, in my mind, the prime example of what Marvel Now, the concept, should be. A new, fresh take on a property that is established that could intro new people into the medium. Because it really is, it's a fresh, creative, new take on the book. And that is something that I value in the book above all else. Number 3, little low, I know, but number 3 is Thor, God of Thunder. And I'll get to my next two in a minute. But Johnny V pretty much said it all. I mean, what Jason Aaron has done with this book has been... Let's just say I wouldn't doubt it if this was a legit, like, Norse myth that brought down and just they put to comic books. I would believe this shit happened, because it is fucking epic. I mean, they sail through the stars on a fucking Viking boat, swigging mead and telling, you know, singing war songs and swinging hammers and shit. This stuff is awesome. And Gore is a beast. He is beastly. That is what he is. But as Johnny B said, the ending to Jason Aaron's arc kind of left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah,
and some of the stuff, nothing to affect the story as a whole, because the story as a whole is damn near untouchable, but it did have its moments where I'm kind of like, oh, not so much, you know, bad, but just, if not confusing or maybe a little bit out of place, maybe out of touch with what the story was supposed to be, the tone of it, but otherwise it's a damn near impeccable story. So, Iggy, you're not wrong in putting the pre-order down on that. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. October 22nd cannot come soon enough. Although, I really hope this, and I will rebuy it because that's how much I love the story, that they do an oversized one collection for this story.
They probably will, because this whole thing was, how many issues? I think it was like
12, 11?
Yeah, I want to say 12. I think it was around 12, but yeah, so if they don't do an oversized, I'd be surprised, you know, because this whole thing collects in just the gore saga. That's what's going to be the gore saga.
It's pretty much been this, like, the story from number one until the last issues.
Yeah. So, if they don't do an oversized, I'll be surprised. But, like I said, Thor: God of Thunder, an epic book. Not without its weak points here and there, but I respect the hell out of Jason Aaron for writing it, and Issad Ribic does a hell of a job on the art. Impeccable.
That's a one mean-ass Croatian motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. I got a whole new respect for the Croatian people. Just based on Issad Ribic. Number two, New Avengers. Almost from the jump, this is one book that when I first saw it, I was excited about and a little skeptical about. New Avengers had been hit or miss with me previously, but when they decided to jump back on, and the concept of it focusing almost squarely on the Illuminati as its own Avengers team really intrigued me, because, look, like Ben, I jumped into Marvel around the time of Civil War started. And
yeah, so Wes, you're wrong that Bendis did not create that Hickman did not do that. It was Bendis.
And you know, I stuck with Marvel throughout, and then when I got to World War Hulk, I'm like, who the fuck is he so pissed at? And so I went back and I looked into the money. I'm like, oh shit, these guys, they're playing puppet master. They're pulling strings. I mean, the idea of this, the upper, you know, elite Marvel heroes always intrigued me, that they were, you know, doing what they thought was best for the world behind everyone else's backs. And the concept of them being an Avengers team challenging these pan-dimensional extraterrestrial threats is just, it blows my mind. And of course, no one is better suited for that than Hickman. I doubt, you know, anyone can handle it better. But even still, it's you know, it's like Vincent Vega. It's little things, you know, it's little touches, little things. Like T'Challa and Namor's constant pissing match over who the hell is going to beat each other to death first. And then, you know, Reed and Tony geeking out over their scientific explorations. And of course, Cap getting knocked the fuck out in the first couple of issues was pretty damn good. I like that a lot. But yeah, so that in itself keeps me coming back week after week, Hickman's writing. And Mike Deodato. Mike Deodato. I love you, Mike Deodato. I would have your artistic babies, Mike Deodato. I love you.
Wow, that's TMI, I think. Very, very.
Yeah, deep. I know. You're welcome. You're welcome.
I heard he pulls out, so I don't think you're gonna.
No.
Phew! Thank God, because I am not ready to be a mother yet. Okay. And number one for me, Ben can probably guess. It's Cable and the X-Force. The reason why I say Cable and the X-Force is because initially I picked up the first few issues. And I'm not sure what it was at the time. I can't remember now, but I dropped it. And then right around the time Free Comic Book Day, really this year, I actually got Dennis Hopeless in my comic shop, and he was signing books. And there were a few signed issues of Cable the X-Force laying around, so I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just pick these up. Wasn't charged nothing extra for it. But then I realized, oh, shit, I don't have the in-between issues. So I went back, and I pick up the issues I missed, and I read it. And I have to say, it is one of the most fun books, one of the most exciting books in terms of how the story is unfolding, and it's one of the books I consistently look forward to every single time. There is no, and as Johnny B said, where there's no real weak link. There isn't. There isn't really a bad issue in the bunch. If you're a fan of Cable and his team and big guns and fighting threats, this is a book for you. Helpless has pretty much taken the idea of almost like an 80s action film, like an ensemble film, almost like The Expendables, but with better people, and done it right. This is what you expect when you gather a team of specialists and you send them out in the world to kick ass. And that's really what the hell is getting done here. This book kicks ass. I love it. Granted, it's now diving into a bit of the muddled 90s era of storytelling, but with the future and Blacksmith and all this good stuff. Hasn't diminished my excitement for the book at all. I love this book above all else. And I got to give Ben endless credit for turning me back onto the book in no small part. And having someone to geek out with really does help. So, that being said, Cable and the X-Force, number one out of my bunch. And I think that's
last but not least, T-Man.
What you got, Taser? He's gathering his thoughts. It's okay.
One. Taser. Top five Marvel Now books.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to go with 1 to 5 because I'm different like that. Number one book.
God, you gotta be the contrarian.
I have to be the black guy. That's right. I have to be.
Why you gotta be so black for Taser?
I have to be the negative. Ooh. Anyway. Number one is New Avengers because that's probably the one Marvel book. Yeah, that's the one Marvel book monthly that I really look forward to. Despite all that cosmic, you know, stuff that Hickman's drawing, it's the interpersonal stuff between specifically Black Panther and Namor that I really care about. And that's really what I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see how that plays out. Everything else is really not even secondary, but tertiary. I want to see what happens with Namor and Black Panther. That to me is... That's what I'm sticking around for. The rest of it is not bad. You know, it's kept my attention. I'm still reading it, so I can't say it's garbage or anything, but I don't care about that as much as I care about how that plays out. Number two is All New X-Men. As much as I want to shoot somebody at Marvel for having kept those kids here for as long as they have, There have been some fun stories that has come out of these kids, you know, from the past, pop, you know, running around here in the current day. Like, what was it, the issue, what was it, 2 issues ago when it was Bobby and Scott out in the town and it's like, yeah, we're here, just scoping out chicks and, hey, ladies, how y'all doing? Yeah, I mean, that just tickled me, you know, freaking Scott Summers macking and trying not to mack and getting macked on. That tickled me, you know? Number three would be X-Men. And I got to say, I'm enjoying that. You know, the all chick book. There's not enough. You know, it's weird. There really isn't a lot of chick books, and there haven't been historically in comics a lot of chick books, you know, or at least books where females are the more prominent figure. Excuse me?
Are the lead?
Yes. You know? I mean, you could look over at Femme Force from, I think, what was it, Aircell, but I don't think they've been in print for maybe a decade at this point, you know? But I like this, you know? And it's not anything different. It's not even really trying to put the woman forward, you know, it's just
a team.
Yeah, you know, and it's not even a team, it's just how things have been working out. Because, like, the last issue had Jubilee and Logan and everything like that, and that's just, you know, that was a side story, and it wasn't really trying to say this, that, or the other. But there was that one, was it the same issue, the one before, when Rachel stepped up to Storm, was like, who the fuck are you? Excuse me.
That was last issue, yeah.
And I like that because Storm is the type of person who, if things need to be done and there is no clear lead, she'll step in there and say, well, okay, look, blah, 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 blah. And she's kind of earned that right to be heated, at least. At least heated, you know? But I thoroughly enjoyed Rachel stepping up to her and going, back the fuck up, you know? Excuse me. Respect my penis. You know, quote unquote. So, yeah, I've been enjoying that book. Damn it. And you know, freaking West. I feel like him. Because number fucking 4 is Uncanny X-Men. Like 3 freaking mutant books in a row. Like, what the hell?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You know, and as much as I like to goof on him for, well, sounding like the way he does,
Dawson still.
No.
Hey, it's his birthday today. Just get it on.
That was yesterday.
No. Well, it'll be technically will be
when this episode's released. It will be yesterday. So
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, either way. By the way, happy birthday, West. I've been enjoying Uncanny X-Men. I mean, there's just so much twistedness there. You know, I look forward to like the new people that they're finding. But yeah, these are some damaged people. Freaking Magneto not being able to, you know, he's not on his ball. Cyclops with his whole, you know, freaking Crimson Band of Citarac I-Beam thing going on. Magic barely being in control of her shit.
That's dangerous.
And these kids that they rescued from, you know, really bad instances. Had it not been for them, yeah, I'm sure a few of them wouldn't be breathing. And they're trying to go. I mean, just recently we saw them, you know, talking kind of amongst themselves, and they're going, are we sure we really want to be with these people? You know? You know, and that's an important question, you know? Because, let's face it, for the most part, when Cyclops goes out and, you know, doing whatever it is they're about to do, he does a whole lot of talking and maybe coming and picking people up, but he can't really do anything, you know? It's too much risk. But besides the point, I enjoy how things have been playing out, especially with Dazzler coming onto the scene. I love Dazzler. Yes, I do. I really, really do.
It's not even Dazzler anymore.
Well, okay, now it isn't, but still, I've always liked Dazzler. Dazzler as a character and as with the ability that she has, I've always liked that, you know? Number 5 is Indestructible Hulk. And as much as you've heard me complain about him
Hulk being like Taser, like Hulk book. Hulk,
yeah. Movie. You know, it's like, hey, Hulk, yes. And then that's it for like the rest of the fucking book, you know, because he can't talk for whatever reason, because it's fucking Mark Waid. I still enjoy it, you know? And even though lately it seems like he's kind of taking that, for whatever reason, you know, writers like to take that tour through the Marvel Universe where you've got the hero, the lead character, and this person who's obscure and that person who's obscure.
Well, and let's have
them run around and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I recognize it for what it is, and I still enjoy that, like, especially like the last 2 issues. That's just been fun. You know, it's been fun. You know, that's really it. I've been enjoying, you know, what Wade's been doing. Even if I don't necessarily enjoy how he's been doing it, I have been enjoying his work on this book. And that says a lot because I haven't read a Hulk book and I haven't had the desire to read a Hulk book for a long time. So kudos to him for giving me that. I wish I could have put some of the others that I really wanted to ahead. Like, I just couldn't put Captain Marvel there because Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Also, it's not a Marvel Now book.
Yeah, it is, as of issue 13.
Well, it's not a new number one, as I said, prefaced with Hawkeye and Daredevil, which is why it doesn't count.
even well, still, the Hawkeye book seems like it fell flat.
Hawkeye wasn't counted regardless. So, yeah. But I also can't put Young Avengers there because I just can't put Young Avengers, you know. I couldn't put Young Avengers in the top five. You know, I just couldn't do it. And the same with Cable and X-Force. I just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. And Nova, I want to scream because it's Kyle Rayner all over again. It is.
Minus Richard Rider going nuts and destroying everything. Infused with a fear parasite. I was going to say a wasp or like some kind of other insect.
Yeah, whatever to be you want to call it. But you know what it is about Nova? The kid is funny. You know, and the kid has been going through a lot of the typical, you know, foibles that they'll have young heroes go through. And that's actually been kind of fun. But I'm sitting here and I'm just kind of waiting like, but people have got to realize this is not the same fucking guy, you know, and that hasn't happened yet, you know. So that's the big reason why I couldn't put Nova in the top five, because I probably would have bumped Incredible Hulk for that, maybe, you know, but I just couldn't do it. But Nova gets a somewhat honorable mention, you know, same with Captain Marvel, regardless of what you say, and Young Avengers, which has been a solid, fun read, but I just couldn't put it up there. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that concludes a very long episode. Good Lord. Think of it as...
I'm going to need a blowjob after that one.
Think of it as, you know, messed up because we didn't have a show last week. Just think about it that way. Listen to them.
Oh, it's an extended episode.
There you go.
Are we doing plugs? I'd like to plug.
Well, we'll get to that in a second because I have plugs.
Butt
as well.
Plug.
So,
butt plug.
So, before we get to plugs, list your top. Your listeners out there, list your top five Marvel Now books with the parameters that I gave you. So, list those. JV, since you are the guest, you got the comic book coming out soon, don't you?
What was that?
You got a comic book coming out soon, don't you?
I actually have two comic book related things to plug. The Nobodies will be coming out soon. Still hunting for a publisher, so I've put a deadline.
Go to Image. That's where all the hot shit is right now.
I wish. It's a lot harder to do than you.
No. I imagine I'm just being a dick.
I know. It's all good though. Trust me. If Image were all about wanting to sign with me, I'd be all about it as well. So, but if that doesn't happen, I will be self-publishing. I'm putting the deadline as at Halloween. So whatever happens, it will be coming out this year. I'm still going to have some things coming down the pipeline, announcements before then. Another project I would love to announce, and this is something that will be coming out sooner than the Nobodies, is a comic book strip called Zombie Cheer Squad. I've had for years. I'll give you just a real, real quick rundown. It started out as a Flash game idea I had way back in college. The idea was that it was a cheerleader who dipped pom-poms in acid and fought her way through zombie hordes. And now that idea has come into fruition through different ways. It's going to be about four cheerleaders who survive an impending zombie apocalypse. It'll be a very fun and enjoyable read. Good for a laugh, good for some zombie fun. So
Bubblegum Shotgun, that game with the cheerleader who fought zombies?
No idea what you're talking about.
Lollipop Chainsaw?
Yeah, there you go, Lollipop Chainsaw.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, that game was written by James Gunn, who's going to be doing Guardians.
It all comes back in a circle.
Jeez.
But I will say this idea was originally came out way before Lollipop Chainsaw. I mean, I was thinking about this mid-2000s easily.
You're going to have to sue Sudo-san. I can't. What is this? Is that his last name?
And from what I know about Lollipop Chainsaw, this is going to be completely different. It's not going to be... It's going to
Lollipop Chainsaw's nuts. I'll say that.
Anyway,
much.
It's not gonna have a zombies.
I'll have other details as that goes forward.
You're not gonna have the main character's boyfriend's head strapped to your hip, are you?
The boyfriends will be involved. You know, sometimes the boyfriends need saving.
Will there be anal?
There's a little hint. It's PG-13 soft R. There will be bloods and guts and gore and everything.
Boobies.
It's high school cheerleaders, Taser. I'm not going to...
Okay, so big-breasted, clothed boobs at least.
Maybe Taser. We'll see.
Okay.
But anyway, more details come around for that, I'll be posting them, so look out for that.
Okay, I got a lot to say. Fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, God, first off...
Like have school
Jay
to
say it in Spanish.
First off, Kuhan and I officially did another episode of Birds in Space podcast where if you like baseball, come talk to us, especially since the pennant races are heating up. I know Brian likes baseball. If you like baseball, come listen to us. We talk baseball. It's fun. Also, I do the Real RPG Show, which will have an episode out tomorrow, same time as this episode with Mr. Dragon. We talk about a whole bunch of things I do not remember. Finally, I'm officially starting to want to write more. And so basically, if you like me enough... Every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and even Wednesday, but on a different site, you will get something new from me. Brief synopsis. Every Monday is Scoreboard Monday, which means I will write about any particular sports topic I like. Every Tuesday is Long Box Tuesday. Well, I will write a short little review on any random issue that I have in my room or in my house that my dog happened to steal. Every Wednesday, you can read my review of that particular Green Lantern issue if a particular Green Lantern issue comes out that week. Every Thursday is Level Select Thursdays, which basically means me doing a little write-up on one of my favorite levels of video games. And every Friday, that is basically whatever the hell I want to do. And Saturdays and Sundays is because I need to sleep. So there you go. Dan, that was
God didn't rest until the seventh day, jackass.
Fuck you. Y'all have anything to say? Because Johnny V and I said a lot.
Boobs and anal.
Brian?
Boston's got Batman, and we've got Ultron. Yeah.
And the Sox are winning.
Yeah.
Well played. Sox.
And the Sox.
Well, that's Rachel, kid. Don't fuck with me.
Even for a asshole, that was good.
We'll see y'all next week for episode 145. Hopefully shorter than this one.